come on, let's do better than that. For the song say he is worthy and he is good. Amen. I'm quite sure all of us can contest that he is good. Amen. 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 I know you can because you're here this morning. Amen. Amen. If he didn't give you a little bit more breath to breathe, you wouldn't be here. That's just how good he is. Amen. Is that not enough to praise God for? Amen. 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 Praise him. Like Deacon Scott said, you better praise him while you're down here. That praise while you're down here might get you up. It might get you up there. And your lack of praise down here may hinder you from. Ah. Amen. 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 We'll get further into that in Bible study. Amen. Come out to Bible study. Amen. Amen. But he is worthy to be praised. Amen. 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 He actually tells us that we ought to praise him. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come down to say thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to praise you. We have to uplift your holy name, for surely you are worthy. You're such a God that's thoughtful, kind, loving, and considerate. You care for us, perhaps in many cases, more than we care for ourselves. So we come this morning to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to sit in your presence. Thank you for allowing us to feel you, for allowing us to touch you, for allowing us to understand you. And we pray, Master, that while we're here, we get all of those things so that when we leave this place, we won't be the same. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let all hearts say amen. 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 We now have our opening hymn, hymn 248.
Oh,
It says that he has made the weak strong, and he has made the poor rich. Amen. Has God done that to anybody or for anybody in here? Amen. I'm going to ask that question one more time. Just one more time. Has God, let me do it this way. Has God significantly changed anybody's life in here today? Has he made your way clear? Yeah. Has he made your way brighter? Yeah. Has he made your way easier? Yeah. Has he made a way out of no way for you? Yeah. Has he done what you couldn't do for yourself? Then somebody need to give God some praise in here. The Bible says that we all ought to always give God thanks. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Mm. Maybe some of y'all was up like I was watching the game last night. Watching the World Series game and it went to extra innings. You're a little bit tired, amen. I'm just going to count it to that. You're a little bit tired. today. Amen. But well, let me tell you this. I'm never too tired to give God praise. No matter where I find myself, no matter what situation I find myself in, I'm still going to give God the praise. Even if it doesn't look good for me, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to praise my God, because if it don't look good, I know that he's about to show up. And when he shows up, he's going to show up with all power in the palm of his hand. Somebody better give God some praise in here today. Amen. 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 I'm not going to pump you anymore. I'm not going to prime you. Amen. Amen. I know some of y'all saying, shut up, preacher, sit on down. Amen. 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 So I'm not going to pump and prime you anymore. Amen. 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 But we are going to push the pastoral prayer to right before I preach in order to save time. We're going to go ahead and ask that the officers would come now for the purpose of tithing and offering. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for what has been given here today. And we pray, Master, that what has been given here today would truly reach someone who is in need. For we find ourselves in situations now, Master, because of the administration that we have that we've never seen before. But it's pressed upon Christians to do our duty, which is to take care of our fellow men, to be our brothers and sisters' keeper, to show love to one another, as Christ has asked of us in John 17. So, Master, we pray that these funds can help someone along the way. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray that all hearts say amen.
November, Thanksgiving, right? But as Christians, we know that every day is a day of Thanksgiving. But we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name. So come on and bless his name this morning. Hallelujah. We're going to give him thanks. Hallelujah.
Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases. People are slipping away. The economy's down. People can't get enough pay. But as for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Yeah. Folks without home, living out in the streets, and the drug habit. And robbers, no place seems to be safe. But Lord, you've been my protection every step of the way. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me.
Yeah. anybody here know that it could be you? Can you feel him moving in here? Remember when that was me.
Thank you, Lord.
When I didn't have a home. When I didn't have food on the table. But my God made a way. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. We awoke now. Hey. Amen, amen. Thank you for showing up, First Church. Amen. I was wondering when y'all were going to get here. Amen, amen, amen. But let us bow our heads. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for what you're doing here. For what we don't take lightly is the move of your Spirit. For when you move, things change. When you show up, things cannot remain the same. For your presence is so powerful. It is so pure. It is so righteous that when even your man of God wanted to look upon you, you told him to look away from you. For if he looks upon your face, he should die. But you have shown up here today and allowed us to watch you walk by. And as you walk by, I pray that some of us reached out today and had the wherewithal to touch your spiritual hem. So that virtue will leave you and go into us. So that we will be made whole. Make us whole today. So when we leave this place, we won't leave just whole for ourselves. But we'll be whole for the world. For the world needs us to be the salt of the earth. Which you have called us to be. It is us who preserve the earth. And give the earth a good smell. So when you smell the earth, it does not have stench in your nostrils. Thank you for allowing us to be those people. Thank you for you visiting us. And we pray you continue to visit with us and continue to carry us. As in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. I won't be before you long. I know some of y'all saying, man, they praising God. We're going to be getting out of here late. We won't. Amen. Amen. But if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it reads, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Amen. For a few moments, I would like to talk with you from the subject, life application is the key. Let me say that one more time. Life application is the key. And my proposition to you today comes in the form of a question.
Are you a doer or a hearer? Let me say that one more time. Are you a doer or a hearer? Here in this text, we find Jesus closing out the Sermon on the Mount. And the overall theme of this sermon was true righteousness, which involves a transformed heart that leads to selflessness and loving others. In his closing, he used a powerful parable to drive home this point. In driving home this point, he shows us there are two types of people in the church. Those who hear the word and do what they hear. According to God, they have a solid foundation. Then there are those who hear and don't do. He says those have built their house on sand. In other words, you do not have a foundation. But can I stop here for a second and give you a public service announcement? There is one more type of people in the church. And those type of people are those who hear and do, but they do for selfish reasons. And to be seen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I ain't trying to be messy. It's just the truth of the nature. When you talk about the church today, we have these type of people in the church today, and Jesus is trying to get us to line up with the word of God. He wants us to be better, not just for ourselves, but better for the world, because the world is watching us. The world is watching the church to see what the church is going to do about all these problems that we're having. I remember when I was a young boy, my mother used to tell me that our home church was not only a church, but it was a school.
Amen.
It wasn't just a school, but it was a food pantry. It wasn't just a food pantry, it was the hospital. It wasn't just a hospital, it was everything that someone in the neighborhood needed.
Amen.
So I ask you today, church, are you a doer or just a hearer? Are you someone who actually apply the word of God to your life? Are you someone who comes on Sunday mornings and hear what the preacher have to say, but when you leave these walls, you do nothing? You don't apply the word that you hear. You don't apply the word that you read. You don't apply the word that you see on TV. All you want to do is just get knowledge, but do nothing. There's some small folks who cannot apply the word of God because they choose not to, because they believe that all they need is the knowledge. Now, let me tell you, it's not going to be enough. Just having knowledge of the word is not going to be enough. There must be life application. I tell people all the time, I don't care anything about how small someone is when it comes to the word of God. My question is, can you live what you know?
Amen.
Can you live what you know? Or shall I even ask the question, are you willing to live what you know? Because some of us make a conscious decision not to live what we know. Because we are so proud of what we know, we think we can do what we want to do. But Jesus here asks the question using a parable. He asks the question, are you a doer or are you a hearer? Let me say something to you. As long as I've been in the ministry, and as long as I've been a child of God, and as long as I've been interested in God, I had to ask myself a question. Are you doing enough? Are you doing all of what you know to do? Or are you sitting on the sideline allowing some things to happen when you know God has told you to get in?
Wow. Say that.
Are you a doer? Or are you just a hearer? Christ uses a parable to make a point. And I need us to understand that a parable is a story that simply is an earthly saying that has a spiritual meaning. In other words, they use relative things that we know about to talk about things that we don't know about. Things that we can't see, things that we can't touch. He uses things that we know about to talk about what we are yet coming into the understanding of. And in this sermon, he referenced how we are to build our house. He says, when you build an earthly home, you build it on a solid foundation. At least you should build it on a solid foundation. And because if you don't build it on a solid foundation and you build it on sand, when the wind comes, it shall fall. When the water comes, it shall fall. It's not stable. And he says that when a man on earth builds such a home, the way he builds his foundation says if he's wise or foolish. Now let me help you understand. He wasn't just talking about earthly stuff. He was talking about spiritual things. He was helping us to understand that when we build our spiritual foundation, we need to make sure we build our spiritual foundation on the right stuff. Yeah. Now they tell me when you build an earthly home, you want to make sure you use reinforced concrete. Just not any old kind of concrete. You want to use reinforced concrete. And then you want to make sure in that reinforced concrete, there are steel bars that are wired together. And the reason why is the reinforced concrete has the strength to hold the house in place. The steel bars has the ability to hold the foundation in place so the house don't fall apart. When we look at that spiritually, we must understand that we must build our house on the right stuff. And if you're not doing anything, you're not building it on the right stuff. If you're just coming on Sundays, getting what you want, get fat and happy spiritually, and then go out and don't help nobody, you ain't building it on the right stuff.
Yeah, this ain't a shouting message today. This is the one to make sure you do some self-evaluation. Because if we are going to be in this season of being thankful, if you want to make God happy with you and thankful that he is your child, then you ought to walk the way he wants you to walk. I know it's different because Thanksgiving is a time where we want to go eat all our turkey. Have a good time with our family. But there are people out there who are hurting. Amen. What are you doing to help those who are hurting? What are you doing in the name of God to make someone understand that God has not forgotten about them? What are you doing to point someone who's headed in the right direction to turn them and point them, in the wrong direction, to turn and point them in the right direction? Well, the only way that you can do that, first of all, your foundation must be built upon the Holy Ghost. He is the rock of our foundation. He is our reinforced concrete. He is our strong steel bars that hold our foundation together. If the Holy Ghost is not what you built yourself on spiritually, then you don't have a foundation at all. And when the wind blows in your life, you'll know just how strong your foundation is. When the waters rise in your life, you'll find out just how strong your foundation is. Let me share something with you. If the Holy Ghost is your foundation, when the water rises, guess what the Holy Ghost will do? He'll raise you up. So the water can overtake you. When the wind blows, guess what the Holy Ghost will do? He'll stand up.
to be your shelter, so when the wind blows, the wind won't blow you over. Somebody better give God some praise in here, because when you have built your spiritual foundation on the right stuff, as Jesus said, when trouble comes, you won't fall over. You won't blow over. You won't be easily moved. I want you to understand this, that the Holy Ghost has many responsibilities when it comes to us. One of his responsibilities is to give us the power to be able to do what the Word of God says. But when you read the Word of God, you must allow the Holy Ghost to have his way with you. You must submit yourself to him. Because if you don't, that means you're reading with your own knowledge and your own understanding. And last time I read, the Bible says, lean not into thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. The only way you're going to acknowledge him in all thy ways, the Holy Ghost has got to be. Your teacher, he's got to be your foundation. He accomplished this by doing something. He empowered us to have spiritual insight, to have spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding. And then, the most of all, he gives us spiritual discipline. What are you saying, Reverend? He gives us these things supernaturally. So when the supernatural things attack us, mm-hmm. we're able to stand. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about, Reverend? People attack me. What I want you to understand, there's only two powers in this world. There's God and there's Satan. Mm-hmm. And when someone is attacking you, they're not attacking you out of their own spirit. Right. They're attacking you out of the spirit of Satan. Mm-hmm. And the way that you can defeat him is knowing who you are in God. Amen. The only way that you know who you are in God, you are a doer of the word of God. He gives us spiritual understanding. Here's an example. In Matthew 16, 6 through 18, when Jesus asked all of the disciples, who do you say that I am? They were saying all kinds of stuff. And Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you did not know this on your own. Flesh and blood did not give this to you, but my Father gave this to you. If you understand how God works with humans, God does not speak to us directly. He used the Holy Spirit to talk to us. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our God. So what Jesus was saying is the Holy Spirit spoke through you to say the right answer. And the one way that we know that it was the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said, upon this rock shall I build my church. One thing I want you to know is God would never build his church on a man. Okay? Amen. Our Catholic brothers and sisters have this wrong. Peter is not who God built the church on. He built the church on the Holy Ghost. Because first of all, he said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you know Peter's life, the gates of hell prevailed against Peter. How you know that, Reverend? Well, he cussed people out. Anytime someone got in his face and pushed him, he responded out of anger. He cut off a man's ear. When he did what God told him, what Jesus told him he was going to do, he couldn't stand himself. And he fled to start back doing what he knew what to do. He turned back to his old way. So much so that Jesus had to restore him. So we know that when he was talking about building his church, he was not talking about building it on Peter. He was talking about building it on the Holy Ghost. Because hell is spiritual. Peter is not. God would never put his church on something that will fail. Man will always fall. Even a good man, the Bible says, falls seven times. But he gets back up. So we know that he was talking about the Holy Ghost. He was not talking about Peter. And if we are born again, baptized believers in Christ Jesus, then the Holy Ghost ought to be our foundation anyway. We ought to give ourselves to him. As a matter of fact, the difference between doers and hearers is doers submit themselves and hearers don't. Let me say that one more time. Doers submit themselves. Hearers don't. Because hearers believe they can do what they want to do. Doers know that in order for them to be powerful, in order for them to do what God has called them to do, they must submit themselves to God and allow the Holy Ghost to lead them into doing what God has called them to do. And let me share this with you. Your faith without works is dead.
Amen.
Let me say that to my hearers. Your faith without work is dead. That's biblical. That's not Pastor Robinson. The Bible says faith without works is dead. James chapter 2 verses 20 says it like this. But will thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. And then in verse 22, he says, seest thou how faith wrought with works, with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. The only way that your faith is going to be made perfect, you got to become a doer. And your work must match your faith. If your work matches your faith, then you are a doer. And not only are you a doer, but you are a blessed child of God. And God said that he will bless everything that you put your hand to. Everywhere your feet go will be blessed. Every spoken word will be blessed. Everything you do will be blessed. But until you match your faith with your works. And I know that's a problem, especially amongst black people, because we had to struggle for so long. We hold on to what we get. We hold on so tight that God can't bless it. When God actually blessed you with that, so you can bless somebody else. Let me share something with you. And I'm about to close and go home because I know I'm getting long. My wife and I have learned that every time we give something, and we realize we really don't have it to give, but we give it anyway. Let me show you how God works. Every time we've done that, we got back exactly what we've given. I don't know if that was intentional or not. But we always have gotten back. I don't know how God works with you. But you can ask my wife. Every time we've given what we didn't have to give, but we gave it out of faith, knowing that they need it more than we do, and that if we are God's children, and if we're going to do what God says for us to do, and we're going to practice what we preach, because we can preach all day, but will you practice what you preach? When we practice what we preach, every time we've given it, God gave it back. And sometimes he gave us back more than what we gave. But in most cases, he gave us back exactly what we gave. When you become a doer, God will bless you supernaturally. God will do things in your life that you didn't know can be done. Out of your obedience, God is obligated to make sure that you are taken care of. Out of your obedience, God will make sure that your wants are given. Out of your obedience, God will make sure your needs are taken care of. God said he needs for us to do what he has called us to do. If you don't know, if you no longer want the world to call you a hypocrite, do what God say. They have the right to call us hypocrites because we have not carried out the fullness of God's word. We sitting here looking pretty and they out there struggling. And what have we done to change their lives? We want them to come to church, but we don't go out there to get them. When they get here, we want them to dress and be pretty and smell good. But do we take them any clothes? Do we give them the things they need, the necessities of life? What are we doing? Have we become a social club? Or are we a church? Ask yourself. This is a hard one to swallow. This is a pastoral message, and I'm trying my best not to whoop you. But as a church, and we're doing a lot here. Don't get me wrong. We do a lot here. As a matter of fact, I was talking to the outreach ministry the other day about some things that we need to do, and we agreed to do them. We do a lot here, but guess what? We can do more.
Amen.
We can do more. And not just on a collective level, but individually.
Amen.
We can do more. If you call yourself a Christian, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to walk the walk. You got to talk the talk. You got to do what it takes to be a Christian. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there be one, the time is now. The Bible says, find God while he's near. But surely there come a time when God cannot be found. The doors of my Father's house are now open. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. We're all saved. Amen. Amen. Look, that was a tough message for me to give because God wanted me to shake you up a little bit because he don't want us to become comfortable. Being comfortable as a Christian is a dangerous thing.
Amen.
Let me say that to you one more time. Being comfortable as a Christian is a dangerous thing. That means you're no longer stretching yourself. You're no longer doing what God calls you to do. Because one thing I've learned, when God calls you to do something, he calls you to do what you consider to be the impossible. But it's always possible with him. And church have gotten to the place where we are so comfortable that we forget about what our mission is. We have one mission. And that's not to sit in here and look at each other and look pretty.
Right.
Our mission is to go out in the world and do what? Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost and teach them the ways of God. We got to get back to that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of communion. We ask that the musicians will give us some music.
Oh,
killed in his side. They pierced him in his side. They pierced him in his side. Oh.
Father God, and we come now to say thank you for all that we heard here today and what we've seen today. And we pray, Master, that when we leave this place, that we go out being doers and not just hearers. You need for your people to be prepared to change the situation and the circumstance of everything that they go into. We pray that we learn to walk in that power, knowing that the Holy Spirit is with us, that he's guiding us. And that he's leading the way. And as a matter of fact, he's already gone ahead of us and made that way ready for us to get there. Allow us to leave this place today walking in that power. And Master, we pray now and we ask that you cover us and keep us until we can return back to this church where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Now let all God's children sing.